Welcome to the Joe Customs Podcast.
My dad is Batman.
Hey, better late than never.
Hey, are you guys recording already?
And back into the closet I go.
Are you talking like pubic hair and a hot iron?
Hi, welcome to the Joe Customs Podcast. I'm John, a.k.a. P-Love.
I'm Brad, TR101AL.
And I'm Dan, a.k.a. The Spectre.
Our guest this podcast this week is Dennis, a.k.a. DR Bindi. So why don't we start off, Dennis, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and customizing?
Well, thanks for having me on, first of all, guys. I'll start with what you just touched on there. I don't even know how to pronounce my own screen name. So if you guys want to help me out, that's great. It started out as a DRB Indie back in the day, just because that was my initials and location. And I think now I'm officially probably registered on about 30 websites as Dr. Bindi. So you guys tell me whatever you want to call me. Customizing-wise, we were just talking here. My experience in this scale started in about 2007. Not coincidentally, right after my first son was born, and also not coincidentally, right when the 25th anniversary figures started to hit the shelf. At about that same time, I had been trying to phase out of my previous hobby, which had been customizing old vintage Johnny West 12-inch figures, trying to phase out for a number of reasons, the biggest being cost and just the amount of space required. Once I got in 2007, I found Joe Customs online. I jumped in with both feet, met some cool people, and everything you've seen on the site pretty much since then is my entire customizing resume.
Yeah, touching on those Johnny West figures, I think Jeff would be disappointed if we didn't comment and say that you got him hooked on those and really interested in customizing those.
He reached out to me kind of out of the blue, I think before maybe last Christmas, because he knew I had talked about him from time to time and made some reference to, you know, if I knew where I could find some good figures for him. And I said, well, you're in luck because I'm sitting on a bunch of them that I want to move. So it worked out a nice deal and got some figures in his hands for his girls. And I was happy to see him get them. I'm actually sitting right now, I'm in a new house, I was telling Brad a little bit ago, I haven't had a chance to customize in at least 4 months, but most of what I will call my shop right now, out of deference to Keenan from a Facebook post, I refuse to call it a man cave from this point forward, but as I sit here in my shop, actually half of it is covered with boxes filled with Johnny West figures that I still need to do something with, so yeah, it's very much on my mind right now too. Jeff, when you get on here, I've got something for you.
I have to agree. I hate the phrase man cave as well. I actually call mine my hobby room. I detest the phrase man cave.
The first, like, collection-oriented room I had was in an apartment, and it was the walk-in, like, linen closet. It was bigger than a normal closet, but not quite, you know, a full room. So we called it the man closet. You know, it wasn't even a full cave. It was just enough room to walk in and have 180 degrees of shelving.
It makes me wonder, when did you first get out of that closet then? Or should I say, come out of that closet?
I'm still in it, buddy. I'm still in it.
Oh, you guys are lucky. My man cave is called my bedroom.
I don't know where to go with that.
Yeah, no, probably I'll leave that alone. I guess it's new terminology for the doghouse.
That's probably a good way to call it.
Let's get into, like, specific about your customs, Dennis. We've always been impressed with how you weave your stories and blend in characters, but kind of, like, let us in on how, like, the X-Cal universe got started. And more, like, we realize Monster Hunters, but also, like, your new universe that you're just starting to flesh out, the sci-fi one.
Sure. X-Cal started as the most simple, you know, hey, I'm only going to own 10 figures ever kind of thing when I was first starting out and had no possible clue as to the level of addiction that would be flowing therefrom. And it started out as a little 10-man team. It was going to be all original characters. The Nighthawk figure, which I'm sure people are tired of seeing proliferate the internet, was going to be the team leader. Basically, was very proud of myself for, hey, look at this this cool team I have. But, oh, man, Chief just posted some superheroes. That'd be cool to see some superheroes. And but maybe I can just maybe work one of them in. And wait a second. Dan just posted some new Star Wars guys, and I would love to figure out a way to work them in. And yeah, it just took off from there. And I pretty much decided, you know what? This isn't going to be, you know, a little 10-man squad thing. This is going to be a wall of my house, and it's going to be a thing that that I loved as a kid. I'm going to build into this verse. And it really just started out as how can I make all of the characters that I love into figures and have it be more than just a random hodgepodge of toys thrown about the place. Taking a cue from the Spectre here, from Adrian Veidt, and some of the great storytellers on the side. Darko had a great verse going on at the time. I decided I'm going to write all these guys into one verse and have it make some sense. So that's what the starting point was.
I should warn you, I do have a Nighthawk figure I got from. That was ominous.
Welcome to the Vault of Shadows.
That was John coming out of the closet right there.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I have a Nighthawk figure, the head that I got from Slayer Design Studios. But now after that comment, that really sounds creepy. And back into the closet I go.
Yeah, any other way you wanted to steer me with that conversation or not, other than to the closet?
Jesus. No, that's good. Did you delve into the sci-fi universe, or did I just miss that?
No, I did not get there yet.
What made you veer off? Like, obviously the X-Cal universe could only contain so much. So what made you go in a more sci-fi direction in its own place?
Well, what I had done with X-Cal was basically take all of the characters and at least to some extent try to put them in a semi-realistic setting. So I was bringing in Star Wars characters and putting them into, the 21st century. I had some sci-fi stuff going on with it, but, you know, I was limiting myself that, you know, Superman hasn't appeared in it. A lot of different things that I felt like I was getting a little bit maybe constrained when my original goal was to get all of these things together. I was kind of putting, you know, self-limitations on it that didn't make sense. And one of those limitations, even though I originally started out with a handful of figures that were all going to be original characters, I'd really gotten away from the original stuff completely, and every new character I brought into X-Cal was an existing, you know, movie or comic book hero. And I said, you know what, I'm going to do something, I'm going to keep doing those, but I'm going to do something that's much more like what my original plot or my original goal was. I'm going to do something with nothing but original characters in it. And I thought that, you know, since I had already made this kind of contemporary setting, that I would either go with fantasy customs or sci-fi customs, and I kind of cheated and did a little bit of both, but decided to create a science fiction verse where I could just populate it with every random thought that I had. Obviously, a lot of, you know, there's really nothing truly original in a science fiction, you know, setting, but at least they're not purposely existing characters.
Well, I've been following your science fiction stuff, and I have to say, a lot of the ideas you've been bringing up are fantastic. It really reads like old school, you know, like Frank Herbert, like Dune, or some very early Bradbury. Very interesting concepts. I'm really enjoying it.
Thanks, man. The Herbert would be a very, very big inspiration for a lot of my thinking. But at the same time, you know, just like all of us, I mean, the whole spectrum of science fiction influences, you know, I like all the same things everybody else does. So it's really hard for me to limit myself to one genre and say that this is going to be my, you know, medieval sci-fi and whatever else when I also want to do, you know, Firefly style Old West sci-fi and whatever else. I really am going to be, you know, across the entire spectrum of science fiction influences by the time I'm done with this verse, too. Hopefully each one has its own little spot, but you know, Herbert was definitely one of my bigger influences for what I'm doing so far.
I have to agree that the science fiction universe can encompass a whole lot of different subgenres, because it is a big universe. You can have one region of space where it is a little more medieval style. You can have another region of space where it's like Firefly cowboy western space. I mean, look at the original Star Trek series. Virtually every episode, they were on a different planet. One planet was like the Romans. One planet was modeled after Nazi Germany. You know, one planet was a cowboy planet. They did all these different things, and it all fit within the science fiction criteria. So I completely agree with that. You can make it encompass anything that you want. And brilliant.
It's a very open, clean slate, whatever I want to say. We can just put it all together. Kind of in some ways doing the same thing I've been doing with X-Cal, tying together a bunch of different stuff. So it's fun.
I like the idea of your Firefly universe. I mean, kind of, it goes back to your interest in Johnny West, because, you know, it in its own way is a Western in a sense, you know. Kind of goes back to your love of the Johnny West and brings it into a more new sci-fi feel to it.
Well, that actually brings up for me, you know, we're talking about these two customs versus my 4-month layoff from tangible customizing has sparked another third verse that I'm going to be introducing once I get a chance to start piecing them together. And John West in 1/18 scale form will be one of the key characters.
That's cool.
Oh, very interesting. Looking forward to that.
I just think you're like the first customizer. You know, we've seen people blend universes. We've seen people kind of go off in their own direction. You might be the first that's going off in their own multiple directions at the same time.
Yeah, it kind of fits in line with my general personality of, you know, if I'm reading a book, I'm probably reading 10, where I've got a stack next to my bed, and, you know, I'll read, you know, 1 week of one book and decide to spice it up a little bit and go to the next one. And I always get back to the original and finish them all, but, I like to mix it up.
And you could even play with the idea of all of your universes are interconnected in a multiverse kind of way, and that would even add a whole new layer to everything.
That thought occurred to me as I started to piece together kind of what characters I wanted to do. Let's just say that the primary villain from the Johnny West universe, I don't know if you guys remember any of that from back in the day, but coincidentally or not, his name's Sam Cobra, and I think I got a little bit of room to play with that and maybe do some fun stuff there as well. But yeah, it may be a safe guess to wonder if there will be a Victorian era Nighthawk in the works or not.
Very cool. Maybe a predecessor to Cobra Commander?
Sam Cobra might have some play in that way, yeah. And I'm thinking that the name I gave the Nighthawk character, Tristan Knight, I'm guessing that there's a member of the Knight family that will show up from about 100 years prior. Yeah.
Now, one thing I've always admired about your customs is your ability to pull things out of your hat and go with different things that normal folks wouldn't normally use on customs and make them work, like the PVC heads for your Firefly figures. Some of the Batman figures you use from the Japanese PVC. I mean, they just really work well and blend together and make the custom, you know, so much better.
But it's always been important to me, for whatever reason, to try to make the figure a little bit distinct from the other figures that I've seen. I think that's partly probably why I went with the realistic takes on some of the superheroes and whatever else. But yeah, if I see a part that is the right scale for a head and no one else is using it because 80% of what you see is just coming from Hasbro. I'll do what it takes to make sure I get it and use it. So, and I've actually expanded on that lately in terms of, just kind of materials that I'll use to make a custom, but I'm using some of those PVC figures for the actual body construction now as well. The Batgirl that I've done most recently had the upper torso is completely from a PVC statue. The Stormwind female figure I made for that Kumite contest a while back is 80% PVC statue that I articulated. So I'm having a lot of fun just trying to go outside of the normal realm of fodder.
Very cool.
Well, that's important to bring in stuff that you don't see every day. Another guy who's pretty good with that, but he's got deeper pockets than me, is, as you mentioned, Adrian Vite. He's always getting stuff from Japan to bash onto his figures. And it's a little cost prohibitive for me to go that far, different types of fodder, but I love seeing it when it's done.
Yeah, no, his work, I mean, it's a treat for me when he comes on and posts something. It doesn't seem like it's as often as it used to be, but yeah, I take notes, definitely.
For me, it's not the uncommon stuff, the stuff that's hard to get or, the stuff coming imported from Japan or China or whatever. It's the stuff that everybody has. That the stuff you've been able to do, like I think your Shazam Captain Marvel figure that used that Jurassic Park general head and, that kind of stuff where you're like, oh wow, he used something I'd never even thought of that, kind of thing. The part I have sitting in my fodder box, never thought to use it that way, but fits perfectly.
Yeah, sometimes a twist on an unused or unusual part is just as good as when you get the really weird, unique stuff.
I may jump ahead a little bit to what we're planning for the podcast, but one of the topics that I was wanting to touch on was what is some of the ideas that you've basically stolen from other customizers, and with Dennis being on here, I think it's my obligation to say I've stolen your idea of using the Mod Podge as a sealant. I continue to use it every day, and it's the best sealant I've used since I've started customizing.
Awesome. I've recommended that to a few people. Well, I've been pretty public about the recommendation of it, actually. And I remember you saying you tried it. Actually, Joe Michaels, I think, tried it for a while. I'm not sure how he feels about it. But I guess I could say hi, Joe Michaels, since he's not here. But
he'll appreciate that. I've actually, I know other people are doing water slide decals, but it wasn't until, Dennis started doing canary stockings, the fishnet stockings. It was just a different way of doing something. I'd seen other people try with markers or, semi-straight lines with paint, but him using the decals that way totally changed my mind. I went out and bought 20 sheets of the water slide decal paper just based on that. I was like, if he can do that using the decal sheets, there are no limits. I just got to practice and work with it. So I went out and tried a couple of different things. Half of them worked even.
Yeah, it's not an easy feat dealing with those water slide decals.
The best part of that Black Canary custom was all the new curse words I learned to say as I was working on it. But it was very rewarding when it was done. But yeah, it wasn't fun to make.
But it definitely was a game changer, though. It showed people what could be done with this basically new technique that hadn't been used much in our scale.
Well, and it's born out of the fact that I couldn't have drawn a straight line with a marker at that point, that many straight lines to save my life.
Desperation, like necessity, is the mother of invention.
And I don't know if you want to call it a secret, but Cap's diorama stuff, the stuff that he's able to do with, like, throwaway packaging, that kind of stuff just blows me away. I build whole dioramas just thinking, okay, what would Cap do in this instance when I'm stuck on stuff? And it's helped out a lot. And when in doubt, I just send him a message, say, Cap, what would you do in this instance?
Well, he definitely is a master of the homemade dioramas. He does some fantastic work, and especially with the materials he uses. A lot of it is like foam core or, like styrofoam, all sorts of things. I've seen him make incredible things out of it.
The impressive thing about Eric, you know, Cap's work is that from what I understand, we've only probably seen about 20% of it in the light of day. He does not post pictures of what he does if he's making it for somebody else, at least on a commission and on whatever. So unless it falls into the hands of somebody who's willing to share, some of his really brilliant work, from what I understand, is just sitting in people's man caves without being appreciated, and that's a shame.
Yeah, that is. Like I said, he does fantastic work. I actually get to see one of his dioramas up close. Rasputin had got him to do something for him, and he brought it by my house one day, and I was floored by it. It was just beautiful.
Yeah, I own a few of them myself, and hopefully I posted pictures of each of them after that last round of comments. They're beautiful. The level of detail is impressive. I mean, it's very inspiring for me as somebody who wants to get into making dioramas.
Yeah, I definitely think it's his attention to detail, you know, where most people have said, it's good enough, you know. I think Zed Hatch is the custom he did for Zed Hatch, and it had like a comic book section that had toys in it, but the toys were packaged in cardstock, you know, they were mint on card toys. Just insane amount of detail going into that stuff. And it wasn't bought, he put it all together himself.
Yeah, that was pretty amazing. I've seen some of that really just incredible stuff.
Brad had said something about what techniques are stolen from others. I don't know if it'd be a good time for me to throw anything in on that or not.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
From Adrian Byte, I mentioned earlier I take notes, but I've probably stolen more than a few. But the one that, for me, it was a game changer was when he started to take the Marvel Universe female kind of that standard first figure and articulate the upper chest so that it would move left to right in addition to forward and back, and then freeze up that kind of poorly placed waist joint. That just changed everything for me, because I hated that waist joint where it was. You couldn't do a you know, somebody wearing a short top or anything like that. It's very limited in what you could do. So once I started fusing that joint and sculpting over it, but then making up for that articulation at the upper torso, those are probably, you know, five or six of my favorite customs, happened once I figured out, you know, that was a good way to do it. That's all from AD.
Yeah, he's got a lot of skills. I mean, or somebody who can put construction paper in a custom and you never even know it. You're like, wow, he comes up with some crazy ideas on how to, execute some of his customs. And you're like, I would have never thought of that. And it works.
Yeah, he definitely thinks outside the box quite a bit. And you can even tell, like you said, what's paper, sometimes even cloth. It looks like plastic the way he does it.
Since, Christmas just passed, we want to change up the fodder box segment that we normally do and just kind of talk about what stuff related to customizing, if any, did you get for Christmas? Fodder. Anything you can use for custom. Dennis, you want to go first?
Sure. I think I posted on Joe Customs that I really didn't get any gifts at all this year, just because we moved into a new house and we kind of decided that was gift enough. But that's not to say I didn't get something for customizing, because my son got a Star Wars AT-TE vehicle, one of the six-leg walkers kind of thing, came in a really big box. And as I was noticing my wife carrying the packaging out towards the trash, luckily was able to get her attention without tackling her, I found that the molded cardboard inside is just is so excellently detailed, and I was glad that it was cardboard rather than styrofoam. I haven't really found any great ways to work with the styrofoam personally yet, but this thing is going to be basically make up just two huge walls of some kind of a hangar or a cargo bay for a spaceship in my sci-fi verse. Just with a little bit of paint and just a little bit of kibble, and I've got, you know, such a head start on a project that I would have had no basis or, you know, way of knowing how to start otherwise. So for me, that was actually a huge gift without intending it to be one.
Brad?
Well, my laptop crapped out here recently. My wife was kind enough to pick up a 7-inch Android tablet, which I would be using to replace it. And not really a Christmas gift or a Secret Santa gift, but I did some trades with Tim Tanstoys and Tsunami right before Christmas, and they sent me some great figures and spotter. I've already been able to use about 80% of it, and that was pretty much a cap to my Christmas.
I got a bunch of Star Wars figures for Christmas that I had missed during the year, but they weren't really for customizing because it was one of each. They're actually for my collection, and if I get any additional ones, they will be used to make customs at some point. But I didn't really get anything for customizing per se, though.
I'm coming out of the closet again, apparently. My mother-in-law got my daughter this from Tractor Supply Company, got her a horse set that came with a horse trailer and a truck. The figures are cheap stuff, but it came with a whole stall set up for horses, and it had all the rakes and shovels and wheelbarrow stuff. I'll definitely be borrowing that from her. But at the same time, she got me a hunting set. So it's got, you know, a tree that's got a little perch on it for hunting some deer, but it came with two compound bows and a hunting rifle with a scope on it and a repeating action, like Winchester style rifle that I'll definitely be putting that in the armory. That's for sure. And then my wife, this is actually a funny story. For the Canadian Joe Convention, I helped out not last year, but the year before that. And I had to recruit my wife to help me put the figures back together. You know, 125 customized figures, and we had to put the thighs back on. And so for this year, she got me a micro screwdriver that had a ratcheting screwdriver that would work on it. And I was like, why'd you give me a screwdriver? She goes, just in case you ever have to do something like that again. My wrist still hurt. So. Good for her for keeping an eye out. What's the strangest item or strangest material you guys have ever used or seen somebody use on a custom?
Well, I'd like to take this one to start with. Okay. I actually just did this week, and I'm impressed and surprised by it at the same time. I had received, if you remember, we were talking to Jeff last time. He said he was going to send me the front wall to a G.I. Joe headquarters. And he sent it to me, but he had cut it when trying to put it as part of his Castle Destro display. He cut it into three pieces. The two angle parts and the central ramp part were completely separated. So I had to put them back together again. And I ended up using crazy glue to hold them together. But the way they were cut, they weren't really cut the neatest. And there was a lot of gaps in between where the pieces came together. So the crazy glue wasn't thick enough to fill the gaps. And I didn't have any putty on hand. So what I did was I took a bottle of Aileen's all-purpose wood glue and put it in the cracks. And it dried, and it shrank a little bit, and it ended up looking like a nasty weld, which is perfect for what I'm doing, because I'm actually using it for my Sand Pirates. And I figure they would use, you know, pieces of starships that they shot down, or things that they stole to make their little outpost. So it looks good that it looks like a weld. But the thing that I found that was really interesting was it wasn't drying that fast. So I was getting a little impatient, and I put a tiny bit of crazy glue on top of the wood glue. And what happened was it's something, some kind of chemical reaction happened, and the crazy glue started shrinking and wrinkling up and looked almost like bacon. And it actually ended up really looking like a solder point. But it also had this organic quality to it that I thought was really interesting. So I tried it on a figure. I had a figure where he was missing his hand, and I was debating on what hand to put on, so I decided just to make it a stump, as if he had gotten his hand, well, in this case, the figure's a zombie, so he'd gotten his hand eaten off at some point. And I put a little bit of wood glue on there, did the same thing with the crazy glue to wrinkle it up, and I got this very organic-looking stump that looks like it had been bitten away and taken off the guy's arm. And I'd been using it on a couple of the zombies I'm constructing to make very gnarly wounds. Just using the wood glue as a base and then dropping a little tiny bit of crazy glue on top, and it looks so amazing. I'll have photos for you guys within the next couple of days once I get around to painting them up. But wood glue and crazy glue gives you a really funky, really organic-looking effect.
Brad?
I think I put him to sleep.
Oh, no, I'm still here.
I thought my story was a little long. I thought I bored you enough there.
No, my wife opened the door and the dog snuck in, so I was trying to get him out. That was a creaking at the door.
Okay.
Now, it's kind of funny we're talking about this. My youngest son tells everybody that his daddy recycles. well, not in the normal form of recycling to be green and all. I recycle because I use up the crap everything everybody else thinks is trash, and for my customs. He's gotten some of those Sherbert push pops that had the little plastic sticks and bases to them, and said, "Dave, can you use these?" And I'm like, "Oh, yeah, of course I can." And they work great. I mean, I'm working on a Robin custom right now, which is basically the Robin suit without the figure, kind of like he would be in the Batcave. And it works perfect because it kind of elevates the figure and has kind of a levitation look to it without, having to use strings and all that kind of good stuff. So that's probably my favorite thing that my son's brought to me in the last couple weeks.
Dennis?
Now, when you say strangest, are you talking like pubic hair and a hot iron type application strange? Or... Not that I've done that. I'm just curious, like, what level of strange we're talking about.
No, I've seen a bunch of those.
At this point, nothing seems strange to me as a customizer. I look, every time I go to the store, every time I open a package, every time, anything. At the office, I'm like stockpiling, micro cassette cases. Whatever it is. I mean, I've got more than one box just full of crap like that I know someday, at least I keep telling myself that, I will use. But I guess one that I've got laid out to start working on now is, I've got a medication I take monthly just for blood pressure, and it comes in this flat, like probably 5-inch by 3-inch container, and I've got just boxes of them because it was so just linear, I knew I would find a use for them. And I think I'm going to be able to turn them into some kind of like modular hallway for dio type materials. It's going to look like, a corridor in a spaceship and whatever else. So I don't even know if that's strange or not, but it probably is strange that I've been keeping those. So.
Did you say dio? I thought it was dio. Hi, Jeff.
Yeah. I've got some Dio, but like I said, it's on vinyl from the 70s, and that's about it.
You just had to throw that out there. Give Jeff some smack since he's not on here with us.
I really had a tough time with this one because I'm the same way. It's like I go looking in weird places to see if things will work. Probably the two biggest ones were my wife had this watch. It was a broken watch. But the face of it kind of looked like a porthole from a Navy ship or something. And I was like, one day when she's not looking, I'm going to take that watch and I'm going to use it for a custom. But what am I going to do with like one porthole? It just didn't make any sense. Hulk Hogan did this chat custom contest to take. He did a couple of different ones of them, but the one I got assigned was turning Shipwreck into a ninja. I had a bare chest that I was doing. I was like, I'm going to throw that porthole on there as like some kind of armor for him to cover up his chest. And that was one of the weirder things I've done on a figure. Just something I had no idea what to use for and just found the perfect oddity to fill out a weird custom to begin with. The other thing that stuck out was for one of the group projects, we did a location is everything or something like some title like that. And I did the mask device, and that was all based on taking a bath one night and looking at, those fake crystal knobs on the bathtub and going, man, I bet you that look cool as a ray gun or the mask device. Holy crap. And just totally changed the direction I was going on for that project. It basically was the foundation for everything that came out of that.
Find parts anywhere. In the last podcast, I think it was, I mentioned that I had a bunch of, small medical, pieces, little plastic caps from the ends of tubing or from syringes. You can find great stuff anywhere.
Right.
I found that recently that, plumber's tape works great for, bandages on customs.
Does it have any kind of permanence or will it eventually, fall off?
Just a little dab of super glue just to make it adhere and, so far, so good.
Oh, good.
I was going to say, it's not even strange to me anymore, but I probably use some form of electrical tape on 90% of my customs, whether it's simulating clothing or straps. I make pretty much every holster I use at this point is made with electrical tape. So
I've used it for clothing, definitely for for holsters and stuff. Electrical tape should, every customizer should have that.
Hey, are you guys recording already?
Hi, Joe Michaels. Welcome to the podcast.
Hey, better late than never. At least you made it.
Hey, I've got a bunch of guests with me tonight. One of them is my daughter, Cora, but I also
have
a friend with me. Hi.
One of them actually is part of Toys. I'm actually going to let him introduce himself.
Hi, my name's Andrew. I don't collect G.I. Joe, but I'm an avid Masters of the Universe collector. I'm a friend of Jeff's, co-worker of Jeff's, actually. I'm floor 2099 on the He-Man.org forums, and I just happen to be here tonight while he's recording this, so I'm here just to hang out. So,
glad to have you.
Yeah, hi.
This whole thing caught us. This is all P-Love's fault by bringing this up this morning instead of telling me about 4 or 5 days ago.
I remembered when Brad reminded me.
All right, well, let's talk.
We're wrapping up one of the segments and going into the customs of the week.
And first of all, though, I need to say I've been waiting an hour to say hi, Joe Michaels.
Wait, who was that? Was that Bindi?
That's Bindi.
That was Dr.
Oh my God, I've been waiting forever to say hi to you.
Hey, buddy.
Joe Michaels is the Howard Stern of the Joe Customs podcast.
That's a good thing, right?
You got it.
Yeah, I've got my fan group with us.
Is that Robin?
That's Robin.
My dad is Batman.
In his dreams.
Hey, now. You don't want to spoil this.
I'm Mr. Andrew's Robin.
I'm not Robin.
You're Robin with Batman.
Conversation I have every night with my son, who's Batman and who's Robin.
I was kind of thinking we should have sent Jeff away and kept the girl around.
Hey. Can I at least be one of the elder Robins? I've got a guest with me tonight, and he's a great character.
Great?
A multi-character.
Yeah, there we go.
So, sorry I missed the first part. What part are we on to now?
Customs of the week.
Actually, before we start, I gotta ask Jeff, since your buddy Andrew is a huge Master of the Universe fan, did you show him the project I was working on?
No, I haven't. Wait, which project, Dan?
My adventure team story where they encounter the Masters of the Universe.
I know about this.
When did this start?
This was a couple of months ago. I posted the Oracle of Grayskull and then I did the villain. I still have the heroes waiting to be painted.
I remember it, Dan. Even if they don't.
You're going to make me feel like an a-hole here.
No, not at all.
Bump it up to the top and I'll find it.
Yeah, I just wanted to see if what a big Masters of the Universe fan thinks of it, that's all.
Don't worry about me, I'm just hanging back. I have nothing to contribute. I'm just soaking everything in.
Outstanding! Best of the best of the best, sir. With honor.
I gave it a 10! Woo!
As far as you're saying about Custom of the Week, I think the most impressive thing I've seen so far this week is BCOS74's phase-shifting Zartan. He could have gone the easy way and just bashed a couple of parts together, but the way he cut the figures at an angle to have like a three-quarter Hawk and one-quarter Zartan was just incredible. One of my favorite things I've seen in a long time.
Paint work was pretty amazing on that.
That one was definitely on my list. It's one of the most original takes on that. I've seen a couple of people try to do the phasing, you know, and doing it with paint was pretty cool, but I definitely like the way he used the hot glue and, yeah, meshing the two torsos together really, really sold it. I thought that was really cool. For me, I know they're not new, but going through the gallery submissions that we've gotten, you know, towards the end of the year for the wrap-up for, you know, the Joe Customs Award and stuff, I've seen a lot of Dan of the Dead stuff again. Just seeing, like, 30 of his customs come through at once Man, that his stuff blows me away.
Yeah, his stuff is always good.
I'm going to throw a shout out to Dan. I really enjoyed your tattooing in child. It was very simple but effective.
Thank you. Actually, there's a contest going on right now over at imperialshipyards.net, which is just simply for no paint kit bashes. Strictly using production parts, no paint, no nothing. And that was just something I put together for it because I had these things sitting in my bin.
Worked very well together.
Thank you.
Dennis, have there been any customs recently that stuck out to you?
This week, Tanksters, Deadpool, and Space stuck out to me. In that same thread, he did a Mandalorian that just looks really cool. But yeah, the Deadpool looks production across the board.
Jeff, what about you?
I don't have anything this week. And I know that sounds horrible, but I've been busy. It's Christmas.
Did you get any cool customizing stuff for Christmas?
Nothing that I didn't buy myself. I got a nice little bump at work this week, and I went out online, and I decided to give Angel Forge a pile of cash. So, Angel Forge, I believe it's him. He's the one who's got the Slayer Red Shadow sculpts. Is that right?
I believe he's the one that currently has them, yes.
Yeah. So I got them all. I got the three of them. So
nice.
You can expect to see those DDP Red Shadows from me early next year.
Very cool. Hey, I bumped up the Masters of the Universe customs. You want to show your buddy?
You know, also, this is Andrew, the MOTU fan. I just got a free figure from Maddie Collector, which I never asked for, because apparently they shipped a figure that had reversed forearms that I never would have noticed. And I'll probably give that to Jeff here for some customizing purposes, because, you know, otherwise it's just gonna rot in my bottom drawer. So I'm sure there's some, I don't know, some 3¾ mutant that can be made out of a seven-inch He-Man figure.
You got an extra strap? That was how we can cut it into.
Yeah, like, because honestly, like, my imagination is so limited, I can't figure out what I can do with anything that's not just, like, a spare human.
Dan, I'm looking at this. What am I looking at? I see the skull, and I see a piece of the Dracula castle inside the mouth, right?
Yep.
Is that the Van Helsing castle?
That's a piece of it for the back part, yeah.
So, and I think I see some of the, I don't remember where those green tendrils came from, but those were one of the G.I. Joe box sets. But I don't recognize the mushroom piece or the snow piece on the right.
A lot of it is sculpted by me, a lot of the mushrooms and whatnot. But the pieces on either side of the skull were actually part of the original toy, but the bases, it was I think it's pronounced Schleich. They had a thing called the Oracle, and I used the base piece of that and the two side pieces. I put the skull in the middle, did a lot of modifications to it, and turned it into the Oracle of Grayskull. Because I painted it up to look like, you know, the Castle Grayskull colors.
Yeah, no, I think he did a great job of matching it in, that's for sure.
Thank you. And what? The second post is the one that has the figures on it.
Huh? This tall.
Huh? Is that movie Skeletor? Oh, no. No, that's Greg. Oh, what? Stafford.
That's a ninja man catcher, right?
Most of it, yeah.
And the head, is that,
Taskmaster.
Yes, thank you.
Most of the figure is Taskmaster, actually.
Scarlet Witch, over the top of, Baroness. I'm just describing him to my friend here.
Yeah. I think it's the Enchantress, because Scarlet Witch just came out, and those were done
a while. Oh, you're right. Sorry, my bad.
That's all right.
Played that way with that ass.
See, finally somebody that knows who the character was.
No, I haven't even made a blade in the new line yet, so this is pretty great.
The underrated character. Yep.
He was originally intended to be Triclops,
yep.
Which is why I did a little bit of green highlighting on him, which you didn't have in the film. So I wanted to tie it into the fact that it was originally supposed to be Triclops.
That's actually kind of cool because a lot of the modern, or I guess not even modern, considering the movie was in the late 80s, but I actually did the graphic design for the menus of the 2002 He-Man series on DVD.
And the Castle Grayskull in that whole series had a really like orange, yellow, ugly brown sky behind it whenever they showed it. And I always remembered they had a purple, blue, red, you know, a lot more 80s fantasy coloring behind the castle. And so when it came time for me to finally put my own fingers into the 2002 He-Man series, I color corrected it so that it would look a lot more vintage like. So if you ever pop in the Mill Creek budget He-Man 2002 release DVD series, you'll see that the Castle Grayskull sky is a lot more of a vintage color.
I actually have that, the whole set where it's all, what is it, 39 episodes on the, in one set, I have that.
Yep. So I did all of the graphic design for that, so my apologies, it's not that great, because I was right out of college when I made it. but as a lifelong He-Man fan, I did my best to make sure that I represented everything that I cared about as a He-Man fan, and part of that was, you know, that violet sky, mysterious colorization.
But as a Masters of the Universe fan, do you think I captured the character as well?
Oh yeah. No, especially at that scale. Yeah, no, that Skeletor, that's badass. I really like that a lot.
Thank you, I appreciate that. Fan actually likes it.
I'm trying to wrap my head around Evil and whatever's going on with her head there. Is she wearing some kind of, armor, or?
Well, I tried to capture the idea of the crown or whatever it was that she wore, but I didn't want to go with a strict, you know, literal interpretation of the original design. I tried to mix in some of the movie sensibility, as well as a more almost real world look to some of them.
I think the only thing, when I think about Evil-Lyn with seeing her hair, and this is probably just me being blindsided by, you know, the depths of my fandom with Masters of the Universe, is every time we've seen Evil-Lyn's actual hair, it's been like bright powder white color.
Yes, and I thought the one with black though. There's a reason for it.
Yeah.
When there's a story, if you read the first part there, when the story is finally finished with the next chapter with the heroes, you'll understand why they're not 100% perfect representations of the characters. No.
Okay. This is my first time seeing these customs. Jeff's showing them to me on his home computer, and so this, you know, I'm just hanging out here, and so this is my armchair critique.
Hey, but, Spectre, why the green skull on the left eye? Is that just something that hasn't been hit yet, or is...
Well, as your friend Andrew says, he worked on the DVD for the 2000 series. Ramstone, exactly. Ramstone.
Well, color me stupid here. I guess everybody else has it all. All right, then.
Yeah, it's got school.
Thank you guys very much for the sound bites.
Yeah, I tried to tie in the all different aspects of all the different versions of the Masters of the Universe, and I wanted to incorporate the Ramstone in some manner, because it was one of my favorite things about the modern series.
One of the only actual good things. There aren't that many.
Jeff, to come back to, we already discussed it, but I want to get your input on it. What was the strangest item or material that you ever used on a custom or saw somebody else use on a custom before?
Wow, that's a... interesting question. Toilet paper? You got anything better than toilet paper?
Now, is that used or clean?
Dennis had mentioned pubic hair, so it's at least even with pubic hair.
You're talking about Nova and his stuff again, aren't you?
Wait a second, I just woke up again. Are we talking Joe's again? I'm sorry. I just had a flashback to the time I got sucked into the forum thread on Got Your He-Man Fix Yet and forgot where I was. I'm sorry. 5,700 posts later.
The weirdest thing I've ever used, I think, is toilet paper. And no, it wasn't used. If you take toilet paper and you run it through glue with water and drape it and let it dry, it actually does a really good scale cloth.
Hey, have you guys checked out? We already did that. Never mind. Scratch that off the list. Yeah, here we go. Last on Brad's list, your New Year's customizing resolution. What do you guys want to work on, want to change, want to fix for your customizing in the coming year?
I just want to get back to doing some more stuff regularly. I've had a long absence of not having anything finished. Got to get back into doing things on a regular basis again.
I think the biggest thing for me is getting the motivation to actually get things posted. I've got about 30 customs right now that are finished. That I just need to get the motivation to sit down and take the pictures and get them posted.
Dennis?
I've seen unpack all this crap so I can actually get the X-Acto out and the paintbrush and do anything, and I'll be happy this year.
Jeff?
I'm sorry, what was the question? I was talking to my friend Cody, who's an incredible guitar player. And I thought maybe he could play us the G.I. Joe thing, you know, like something for a G.I. Joe thing. And instead, he just failed me completely.
Is it just me, or does it seem like Jeff is like your remote correspondent? He's at the state fair right now talking to people on the street.
He can't read the teleprompter.
So customizing goals for 2012. Did I miss something after that?
Nope, your New Year's customizing resolution. Go.
Cobra Island. Two more words, Castle Destro.
That's good.
That's all I got. The No Joe Challenge is coming up next weekend, and I don't know if this is going to air before next weekend or not, but I got one that's biting my ass to get into that. And then I also have an entire secret project that I think it was Deramo who totally wiped my, he like Chad matted me on my whole idea. But yeah, I got, there's some things coming up. What did you guys say so I can mock you?
Apparently nobody's customizing or posting their stuff at all.
It's been too busy the last couple of months. I've been fiddling around with different things, but I have not actually had the time to sit down and finish anything, except for the two no paint kit bash parts that I did the other day.
Well, kind of to go on with this, do you guys plan things out in advance, or do you just spur the moment? Yeah, that's me. Can you hear me?
God, I didn't even know you were online. It's awesome.
Yeah, I'm still here.
I tend to plan things out very far in advance. Like, my customs are usually 9 to 12 months in advance. They're all planned out. And every now and again, I will get a wild hair and just make something off the cuff. But for the most part, everything's planned out and scheduled.
Dennis?
Yeah, well, for me, if you see that I've actually posted something that's finished, that's probably the one that I did spur of the moment. And the ones that I have plans for are the ones that are probably not going to see the light of day for a really long time. So I don't know what that says about me, but.
I got both. I've got stuff that's been sitting, you know, 80% completed for 3 years. And I've got stuff that I'll throw together over a weekend and then let it sit for 3 years. So, I mean, it's a little bit of both. And now, to go back to customizing resolutions, the one I've got is just, you know, coming up in February is going to be the custom celebration. And I've got a bunch of tutorials that I want to try, but first I have to try out the techniques I'm going to give, you know, tutorials on. So that's.
Can you give a preview of that, or are you trying to keep it secret?
I guess I can tell you one of them at least, because again, if it's successful, I'll give a tutorial. If I sucked at it, I might not try to tell other people how to do it. Dark Winter showed off how to create a tree, you know, for dioramas and stuff. And I've been meaning to try it, and I think I can nail it and do it. But actually being able to do it, I just haven't had the time. So I want to make those kinds of things a priority and, work on some, TR1ER's, Trier's, Twunner's, I don't know how you say it. Sorry. But he did, he used a sponge, was able to create a digital camo pattern. I tried it once and it was iffy at best. But that's something else I really want to try out again and try to nail. and get it at least halfway as good as his is.
Well, all I can say is water slide decals. Learn from Dennis.
Wait, that sounded like an invitation for Bindi to actually do a tutorial of water slide decals for the custom celebration. Is that what I just heard?
I second that. Do I have a third?
I heard that.
He did one.
I'm personally offended that none of you have read the tutorial from my two custom celebrations
ago. No. Not me. You need to get the video camera up and you need to set it to the macro so that we can see it up close. Show everything you do, how to get it on without rippling it, without tearing it, without, you gotta get it up tight.
Wait, what are we talking about?
Who's going in and out of the screen door?
Yeah, apparently I need to get that camera out of P-Love's closet first. And then I can work on it.
Oh, wow. All right, I just want to thank Dennis for coming on tonight, and
it's a pleasure to be here, guys. Thanks for having me. Anytime you want another guy sitting in the seat, let me know.
Hey, we're happy.
Did we just start over?
We have breaking news. Let's go back to Jeff on the scene.
In the scene, if you know what I mean.
All right.
So, no, I want to go back to this idea of Bindi doing the video tutorial of slide decals. Is this going to happen or not?
In time for the next celebration, unlikely, but I will make it a priority just for you.
Dennis, it's February.
Yeah.
It's like 60 days from now.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll snap a picture of my basement right now and I'll send it to you. We just moved.
Wait, on a tangent here, are you going to be around, are you still in Indy?
Well, I'm in Fort Wayne, is where I live. I am negotiating right now if I'm, guess what your question is. I'm negotiating to get that weekend free, yeah.
Wait a second, aren't you your own boss?
That's not who I'm negotiating with.
I believe the question stands.
The real boss is negotiating.
Yep. We all have all right. Those.
We'll see you in April then, buddy.
Yeah, I definitely want to be there. It falls at the end of spring break for my stepdaughter's senior year, so I'm negotiating. I can leave it at that. But are you going to be there, Jeff?
Actually, what I might do is just hopscotch right over to your house. I mean, if I'm going to drive to that state in the first place, I'm not going to take full advantage of it. So,
all right.
So pick up some local beer and something with meat in it, and I'll be at your house.
I think we all will have that.
Wow, Jeff, a little forward, don't you think?
An open invite, man.
The only thing I heard you say was open invite.
I'll make sure the beer's stocked with Schlitz or something for you. I don't think we have any local.
You can't bring Joe Michaels anywhere. Dennis, I told you Joe Michaels was a card.
One joke? I have one joke. Why did I bust under the shine down the tip? Because it was still warm.
Wow. Okay, Jeff, don't hand the mic to him anymore.
Do we have a sound effect of crickets we can put in there?
We will get one.
Back to the podcast.
MOTU fans are kind of breed of their own.
Yeah, masters of the unfunny.
Masters of the unfunny.
Hey, any parting shots?
Wait, are we wrapping this up?
I'm trying.
T-Love, what's on your bench? What are we going to see next?
the customizing workbench.
Like I said, the stuff for the customizing celebration. Yeah, just the stuff from the customizing celebration. That's pretty much all I've got lined up.
Okay, so I had a follow up question for this. What was that?
Is that what I think it sounds like?
All right. So Monday, we're shutting off the site, right?
The gallery submissions, yes. That'll be shut down.
And when are we going to start up JCAs?
As soon as the submissions have all gone through. Usually it takes, you know, depending on how many customs.
You guys, who's farting? Okay, anybody got anything else that they're going to be posting yet this year?
I don't think I'll have anything ready before the new year on Tuesday, but hopefully the following weekend I'll have some stuff, possibly some of my zombies, and even possibly the communications array that I showed you guys the photos of last time, and we talked about during the last podcast. Yes.
I've got about 20 finished customs on the table. Hopefully I'll get the motivation to take some pictures. You realize you've only got 3 days, right?
Sure.
Oh, yeah. They won't all happen in 3 days. How about you, Vinny? What do you got?
50 figures that need to go to the gallery that I've been lazy about, but I have a hunch I'm not going to get them all in.
All right. Let's, before any more doors creak or fart sounds, let's try to wrap this up. Yeah.
Let's hear some more out of Bendy. What did I miss out of Bendy?
We talked about his work.
Yeah.
He talked about Johnny West. You want to say anything about
talk about how much he looks like me without glasses?
Really? I do?
Well, when I was 38.
Kind of a creepy likeness when you
threw
your cowboy hat and the glasses on my picture.
Well, I'm the only cowboy.
So,
I saw that picture with your cowboy hat on, and I just wanted to take it off and leave it with you. But yeah, I've got one of your heads in my little to-do bin, and I'm going to put some awesome glasses on it and put it on a horse.
Not sure how we should take that.
I think Pilo has those exact same plans from what I remember him saying before.
Not quite. His is way creepier. Oh, jeez.
I have some more Johnny West figures for you whenever you want them, too, John.
How many full-crossed women have I murdered in the last year? Like, a Brazilian of them.
I never thought the podcast would get Dark Jedi'd. Sorry, I had to cut him out. That was killing me.
P-Love, I'll say a prayer for you as you do the edit for this podcast.
Dennis, do you have any final parting shots or anything?
Yeah, I'm here. My headphones conveniently fell off there for a few minutes. No, I think we covered it, man.
I'm so sorry. Dan, anything?
Well, just like I said, looking forward to the new year. Going to refocus on getting some customs done, getting the posted, finishing up on a bunch of stuff that's been sitting on my table forever. And that's about it.
Brad?
Just keep the creativity alive and be courteous in your critiques of each other.
This is Pilas. Keep your brushes up and keep in good company. Later.
Once again, the world is a safe place to be, thanks to the G.I. Joe team of experts. G.I. Joe, a real American hero.